Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 725, titled Leak This, Wiki Spooks and the World of Stig Larsson. This is being recorded on October 9th of the year 2010. Let me begin, as always, by encouraging you most emphatically to use the SpitfireList.com website. I do long written descriptions of each program. There is frequently information in the description that I didn't have time to include in the original broadcast. This will certainly be one of those shows. So please, SpitfireList.com, a huge resource and essential at this point for an understanding of For the Record. Now, in For the Record number 724, titled Wiki of the Damned, we took a look at the cult that I believe is fundamental to understanding Julian Assange, the kingpin of the WikiLeaks network. WikiLeaks is a group of online hackers and leakers who have achieved quite a bit of publicity because they have leaked various, among other things, various national security documents that have proved or could prove extremely damaging to and even fatal to U.S. military personnel and damaging to a number of interests ranging from the American military to the Obama administration. As we'll see, much of WikiLeaks appears to be aimed at anything that is democratic or that isn't ultra-reactionary, their claims to the contrary notwithstanding. The available evidence suggests that WikiLeaks is an intelligence network of some kind. There may very well be more than one intelligence service involved in this. I also want to stress that I have, at this point, still more questions than answers about WikiLeaks, and one of the reasons for that is that the organization itself is extremely mysterious. They are anything but transparent about their funding, about who's involved. They write this off to the need to maintain secrecy, to guard themselves from various government agents. Well, certainly some of the things that they are doing is going to draw fire from governmental authorities, but what we're going to be examining here in the first part of the program are the observations of another online leaker, a fellow named John Young, who does the Cryptome.org leaking site. Now, John Young is himself obviously quite circumspect about the possibility of government interference with things like this. He also has a pretty good balance because he's not overly paranoid. There's not an excessive degree of paranoia on his part. He's had governments deal with him, and so he has a pretty good perspective. John Young, again, is one of the founders of WikiLeaks. He is now one of its fiercest critics. And so for the first part of our discussion, we're going to access an interview with John Young, one of WikiLeaks' early founders and now one of its fiercest critics, and we're going to note what he has to say about this organization. For one thing, he notes its excessive secrecy and how it doesn't make sense. First of all, he seriously doubts that any of WikiLeaks' alleged devices for maintaining the security of people who leak documents to them. He says that's just pure stuff and nonsense. No such thing exists. Also, they're less than transparent maneuvering around their funding. They are getting, as we looked at the tail end of our broadcast in 724, program number 724, WikiLeaks is operating to an extent in terms of obtaining funding under the auspices of the Wau Holland Foundation in Germany. Wau Holland was an iconic German hacker, and the Wau Holland Foundation itself is expressing skepticism about how much money WikiLeaks is actually receiving. Also, John Young himself has noted the behavior of WikiLeaks as behaving like an intelligence service and has noted some very interesting things about some of its founders. So, for the first part of our discussion, here is John Young. This is from an interview. Actually, this first one interview is not with Wired Magazine, but this is a CNET.com interview with John Young, and it reads in part, John Young was one of WikiLeaks' early founders. Now, he's one of the organization's most prominent critics. Young, a 74-year-old architect who lives in Manhattan, publishes a document-leaking website called Cryptome.org that predates WikiLeaks by over a decade. He's drawn fire from Microsoft after posting leaked internal documents about police requests, irked the UK government for disclosing the names of possible spies, and annoyed Homeland Security by disclosing a review of Democratic National Convention security measures. Cryptome's history of publicizing leaks, while not yielding to pressure to remove them, is what led Young to be invited to join WikiLeaks before its launch over 3 years ago. He also agreed to be the public face of the organization by listing his name on the domain name registration. Operating a website to post leaked documents isn't very expensive. Young estimates he spends a little over $100 a month for Cryptome's server space. So when other WikiLeaks founders started to talk about the need to raise $5 million and complained that an initial round of publicity had affected, quote, our delicate negotiations with the Open Society Institute and other funding bodies, unquote, Young says he resigned from the effort. By the way, Open Society Institute is George Soros, and as we've looked at in past broadcasts, the available evidence suggests very strongly that George Soros is part of the underground Reich, what I call a Bormann Jew. He got his start in business basically helping to confiscate Jewish property, quote, Aryanizing Jewish property for the Nazis during the Nazi occupation of Hungary in World War II, something he describes as the happiest days of his life. So I don't think that's much of a reach. But anyway, do note that they were initially angling to hook up with George Soros. Continuing, in the last few weeks, after the arrest of Army intelligence analyst Bradley Manning cast a brighter spotlight on WikiLeaks, Young has been trying to trace WikiLeaks' money flows. On July 17th, WikiLeaks asked supporters for $200,000 to pay for Manning's attorneys, even though the co-founder Julian Assange said a few days earlier that the organization had already raised $1 million. CNET caught up with Young at the next Hope Hacker Conference here last weekend, where he was attending the WikiLeaks keynote speech. Following is a transcript made from a recorded interview with Young, lightly edited for space. What you're doing sounds a lot like what WikiLeaks is doing, no? Young. Only superficially, Declan, because, and we can talk more about this, I initially thought that was what they were going to be doing when I first agreed to participate. But it became clear right away that they were going to set up an operation with multiple people involved. So the first difference is that I don't run an operation. I don't have any people working on this. This is strictly, and I like the term myself, but other people hate it, it's strictly an amateur version. It's not like WikiLeaks and their grand goals. I've never had any desire to overturn governments, do any of these noble things they want to do, or jack up journalism. This was just a way to get certain kinds of documents out to the public. And so when they explained the amount of money they were going to try to raise, that was the basis for parting company with them. I thought it was going to be more like Cryptome, which is a collective of people contributing their time to it, and not a centralized operation raising lots of money. Cryptome is not into that kind of thing. We parted company at that point. We're still not like WikiLeaks in that we don't do any promotional work for our activities. CNET. Who were the other WikiLeaks founders? Young. I'm not going to talk about those. I will say that Julian Assange was clearly there. I elected to conceal those names when I published these messages. By the way, later on, we're going to take a look at some emails that John Young has made public in which Julian Assange, although not naming names, describes the people who were the founders of the organization. It is more than a little interesting. Continuing, and I think it's basically a violation of Cryptome's policy to publish the names of people who do not want to be identified. CNET. You had a falling out with the other WikiLeaks founders? Young, yes, but it was over this. Someone said that the initial goal was $5 million. That caught my attention. One, because I think the type of stuff I was going to publish, you should never do it for the money. Only because that contaminates the credibility and it turns it into a business opportunity where there's great treachery and lying going on. And it will contaminate WikiLeaks. It always does. In fact, that is the principal means by which noble endeavors are contaminated. The money trail. That's pretty obvious. I happen to think that amateur stuff is better than paid stuff. CNET. How long were you involved before you resigned? Young. Not long. A few weeks. It wasn't long. However, one of the things that happened is that somehow I got subscribed to that list under another name and the messages kept coming in. I got to keep reading what they were saying about me after they booted me off. The messages kept coming in, so I published those too. CNET. Did they criticize you for, well, leaking about WikiLeaks? Yum, they certainly did. They accused me of being an old fart and jealous. And all these things that come up that typically happen when someone doesn't like you. That's okay. I know you would never do that, and journalists never do that, but ordinary people do this all the time. CNET. Because journalism is a noble profession, and all its guys is young. That's right, and there's no backbiting there, by the way. I think that the two of them are speaking tongue-in-cheek here. They should be. CNET, over the years you've been running crypto. You've had some encounters with federal agencies. What visits did you have, and what were the agents concerned about? Young. They were most concerned that we published lists, the names of spies. That was the first issue that brought us to their attention. There was a request, so we were told, from one of the British intelligence people to have that list removed. CNET, and did you remove it? Young. No. And not only that, but the FBI was always very polite. They said, you've done nothing illegal and we're not pursuing a criminal investigation. These are just courtesies we're offering other governments. We had one with the Brits and one with the Japanese that brought them to our door. CNET, you had no interaction with, say, Homeland Security? Young. The other was when we started our eyeball series of publishing photos. That brought one visit and one phone call. But again, they were polite and said there's nothing illegal about this. By the way, contrast this with what Julian Assange is saying about the tactics that allegedly he's been subjected to. Continuing. They never used a negative term. They just said the issue has been raised with us. And, by the way, I did a Freedom of Information Act trying to get records of these visits, but I could never find anything. I did get business cards, though, and I asked for ID. They were very polite and gave me business cards, and I published all that. They asked me not to publish their names, but what the hell, Declan? What else do I have to go with? CNET. So if you've been publishing sensitive government information for so long, why have you not had the same encounters that WikiLeaks has had? Young. I don't think they've had any encounters. That's bogus. But that's okay. I know a lot of people who talk about how the government's after them. It's a fairly well-worn path. You know it from your own field. It remains to be seen whether any of this stuff holds up or not. One of the tests is, and we're going to talk about this more, unless you go to jail, it's all bogus. When I go to jail, you'll say he actually did it, finally. He came up with something that offended someone. So far, that hasn't happened. No indictments or anything. These polite visits are the closest I've come. Professionals are going to have nothing to do with WikiLeaks, as you probably know if you check around. People who know security will not have anything to do with WikiLeaks, but the public will. CNET. WikiLeaks pledges to maintain the confidentiality of sources and stressed that in the presentation over the weekend. Do you offer contributors the same guarantee? Young. No, that's just a pitch. You cannot provide any security over the Internet, much less any other form of communication. We actually post periodically warnings not to trust our site. Don't believe us. We offer no protection. You're strictly on your own. We also say don't trust anyone who offers you protection, whether it's the U.S. government or anybody else. That's just a story they put out. It's repeated to people who are a little nervous. They think they can always find someone to protect them. No, you can't. You've got to protect yourself. You know where I learned that from? From the cyberpunks. So WikiLeaks cannot protect people. It's so leaky, it's unbelievable how leaky it is as far as security goes. But they do have a lot of smoke blowing on their site, page after page after page, about how they're going to protect you. And I say, uh-oh, that's over-promising. The very over-promising is an indication that it doesn't work. And we know that from watching the field of intelligence and how governments operate. When they over-promise, you know they're hiding something. People who are really trustworthy do not go around broadcasting how trustworthy I am. CNET, it sounds like you've become more critical of WikiLeaks over time. Young, it's not just them. It's also that they're behaving like untrustworthy organizations. So, yes, if the shoe fits, fine. I don't want to limit this to WikiLeaks, but, yes, they're acting like a cult, parenthetically. Bear in mind the Anne Hamilton Byrne cult, which I believe Julian Assange was deeply involved with. He certainly was tangential to it. I think there's far more to it than that. Continuing, they're acting, this is John Young talking about WikiLeaks. This is from one of WikiLeaks' founding members. They're acting like a religion. They're acting like a government. They're acting like a bunch of spies. They're hiding their identity. They don't account for the money. They promise all sorts of good things. They seldom let you know what they're really up to. They have rituals and all sorts of wonderful stuff, so I admire them for their showmanship and their entertainment value. But I certainly would not trust them with information if it had any value or if it put me at risk or anyone that I cared about at risk. Nevertheless, it's a fascinating development that's come along to monetize this kind of thing. That's what they're up to. You start with free samples. CNET. You've been trying to follow some of WikiLeaks' money flows. You've contacted the German charity and posted their response. They said they're going to have some information to you perhaps in early August. Does that make you feel any better about the money trail? Young. No. To clarify, you're going to publish it on their website. They said you could mirror it or point to it, unquote. So it's not just for me, but it's only a tiny sliver of what WikiLeaks claims it's raised, whether WikiLeaks has raised $1 million as they've claimed, or whether they're trying to prime the pump, I don't know. The Wow Holland charity has only handled a very tiny amount of this, and they've said that. We know nothing about the rest, unquote. I noticed that WikiLeaks is touting the revelation that's going to come, but it doesn't fit the claim that WikiLeaks is making about how much it's raised. There's nothing wrong with that. People exaggerate all the time for effect. So back to why I admire WikiLeaks. They've got chutzpah, unquote. Skipping down. There was suspicion from day one that this was an entrapment run by someone unknown to suck a number of people into a trap. So we actually don't know. But it's certainly a standard counterintelligence technique, and they're usually pretty elaborate and pretty carefully run. They'll even prosecute people as part of the cover story. That actually was talked about at Sunday's panel. They'll try to conceal who was informing and betraying others by pretending to prosecute them. And on Cryptome.org, some of the emails that Julian Assange had basically sent around, and because John Young, now one of the organization's critics, was originally one of its founders, he has the following. And here is a Julian Assange email. One, WikiLeaks was founded by Chinese dissidents, mathematicians, and startup company technologists from the United States, Taiwan, the epicenter, by the way, of the Asian People's Anti-Communist League, part of the old WACL network, Europe, Australia, and South Africa. So again, note, WikiLeaks was founded by Chinese dissidents, mathematicians, and startup company technologists from the U.S., Taiwan, Europe, Australia, and South Africa. Here's another thing. This from an actual leaked email from Julian Assange. Our advisory board, which is still forming, includes representatives from expatriate Russian and Tibetan refugee communities, reporters, a former U.S. intelligence analyst, and cryptographer. So notice basically who the people are behind this. Representatives from expatriate Russian and Tibetan refugee communities. That's the old WACL network, the old UNPO network. And we've dealt with the Tibetan situation at great length. And for the records, 547 and 548. And note that it was founded by Chinese dissidents, mathematicians, and startup company technologists from the U.S., Taiwan, Europe, Australia, and ta-da, South Africa, that bastion of human freedom and dignity. One wonders, was that apartheid or before that? So a fascinating bit of information here from the horse's mouth or perhaps some other portion of that animal's anatomy. Still another one, email that was leaked by John Young. And this is from Julian Jay, what he's talking here is about how they're basically going to enlist the support of organizations like CIA and then turn on them. What hubris, boy. That is real hubris, or else is it just a feint? And this, again, more from Julian Assange. John, we are going to F them all. I'm attenuating that, obviously, for FCC purposes. Chinese mostly, but not entirely a feint. Invention abounds. Lies, twists and distorts everywhere are needed for protection. Hackers monitor Chinese and other intel as they burrow into their targets. When they pull, so do we. Inexhaustible supply of material. Nearly 100,000 documents and emails a day. We're going to crack the world open and let it flower into something new. If fleecing the CIA will assist us, then fleece we will. We have pullbacks from NED, CFR, Freedom House, and other CIA teats. We have all of pre-2005 Afghanistan, almost all of India fed, half a dozen foreign ministries, dozens of political parties and consulates, World Bank, APEC, UN sanctions, UN sections, trade groups, Tibet and Fulan Dafa associations, and Russian fishing mafia who pull data everywhere. We're drowning. We don't even know a tenth of what we have or who it belongs to. We stop storing it at 1TB. And we're going to find out at the end of this broadcast just whose auspices WikiLeaks is now enjoying. Because bear in mind all that information. Bear in mind them leaking the social security numbers of active duty American personnel. We're going to see basically who is standing astride the WikiLeaks network at the moment, under whose auspices they're operating. You think about whether you want them to have this kind of information. Now, one of the things that we've spoken about is the fact that WikiLeaks, and we talked about this in at the conclusion of For the Record 724, and it's touched on in that interview with John Young, and that is the fact that WikiLeaks is now obtaining money under the auspices of the Wow Holland Foundation. This is a nonprofit organization in Germany named for an iconic German hacker named Wow Holland. We're going to talk about that now. What I'm going to do in the description for the program, because I don't think we're going to have time to really talk about it, the Wow Holland Foundation grew out of something called the Chaos Computer Club in the 1980s. This was a bunch of German hackers, not to be confused by an American organization with a similar name. And among the things that the Chaos Computer Club did was to hack into U.S. national security and NATO computers, as well as other things, on behalf of the old KGB, which then rewarded them with drugs and apparently money. I would note that two of the hackers that did this, one was a guy named, nicknamed Tron or Boris Florisich, I may be mispronouncing his last name. He was found hanged in a park in Germany, but his feet were still on the ground. It was an alleged suicide. Another one of those hackers who hacked on behalf of the KGB was found burned alive. He had been doused with gasoline and torched. And Wow Holland himself died at the ripe old age of 49 of a stroke. So that may have been the payback for doing that. The point being here that from the get-go, the Chaos Computer Club appears to have had some encounters with intelligence agencies. I sure wouldn't hack NATO or U.S. national security computers on behalf of KGB. They found out where that sort of thing gets you, I suspect. But one of the things that's worth noting is a dynamic about the world of hacking. When hackers get busted, they frequently are turned to being operatives on behalf of the governments against whom they had been infracting. That's kind of awkward phraseology, but what the heck. Now, an indication that that may have happened with the Wow Holland Foundation. They were hacking the German postal system. They were hacking phone cards, all sorts of encryption things that could have done all sorts of damage. But we're going to take a look at this particular article, and the full URL from this will be in the description for the program. On July 30th of 2001, there's the following article about the Wow Holland Foundation, and this is by Boris Groendahl. This is from lists.jam.com, and talking about Wow Holland. Wow Holland taught his fellow CCCers never to hack for profit, to always be open about what they were up to, and to fight for an open information society. He was deeply embarrassed when some CCCers sold their discoveries from within the U.S. military computer network to the KGB. This incident and the subsequent discussions in the club brought the next generation to the CCC's helm. So notice that KGB hack basically resulted in a change of leadership. While Holland sure got changed, again, he died at the age of 49 of a stroke. But now, who is the new CCC, a.k.a., you know, slash Wow Holland Foundation? While the new leadership has a less strict, moralistic, more postmodern sense of hacking, it remains too true to the CCC's political objectives. Holland became the club's honorary president, until he died at the age of 49. Under his stewardship, the CCC gained considerable status in German politics, with its speakers invited by the parliament, telecoms firms, banks, and even the Secret Service. The Secret Service, of course, is the BND, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, the Federal German Intelligence Service, and the final incarnation of the old Reinhard Gehlen Nazi Eastern Front spy outfit. And behind the scenes, it retains all of its old character. Now, again, note that those intrepid hackers are now basically, the available evidence suggests that the CCC slash Wow Holland Foundation has basically been turned, and among the people to whom they proffer their services are the BND, the German Intelligence Service. Now, back to Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. He himself was, or the main founder, of course, along with the Russian and Tibetan expatriates and all those other people we were looking at. Julian Assange himself was a hacker. He got busted, but he got a wrist slap, which suggests very strongly that he himself may have been one of these turned hackers, so to speak. From the Christian Science Monitor of July 26th of 2010, a Scott Bland article, Julian Assange, the hacker who created WikiLeaks, it reads in part, programming quickly became hacking once Assange got an internet connection, and soon he was accessing government networks and bank mainframes. He was arrested in 1991 and charged with more than 30 criminal counts related to his hacking. Facing as many as 10 years in prison, Assange struck a plea deal. During sentencing, the judge ruled that Assange only had to pay a fine. Assange's hacks were not malicious. They were the harmless result of, quote, inquisitive intelligence, unquote, said the judge. Though Assange's most recent well-known projects have had an anti-war bent, the recent Afghan war leaks, the infamous collateral murder, unquote, video of a U.S. helicopter crew gunning down a group that included two Reuters journalists in Iraq, his site does not appear to have an obvious ideology beyond exposing secrets, something a lot of so-called progressives have forgotten about WikiLeaks, and it's mentioned in this last paragraph. In other projects, Assange published a trove of text messages sent in the U.S. on September 11, 2001, and emails from the University of East Anglia's climate research unit, which led many to believe that scientists were suppressing anti-global warming research and results. The point being in that last paragraph that it was WikiLeaks that was a source, the source for all of those documents that became the focal point of a huge brouhaha about whether or not scientists were conspiring to falsify evidence of global warming. And you know, everybody from Gauleiter Limbaugh to Gauleiter Beck to the others were touting that one. Well, that comes from WikiLeaks. And I would note, too, that the fact that Julian Assange got this wrist slap would indicate that very possibly Julian Assange was turned by the Australian authorities. Now, in the first part of this series, really, in For the Record 724, we took a look at Julian Assange's connections to the Saniketan and Park Association. That gives every evidence of being a very powerful cult, perhaps some sort of British/Australian intelligence manifestation of MK Ultra, but it certainly appears to be connected to intelligence, mind control. It was engaged in some serious criminal activity, and obviously a very formidable organization and not one to be trifled with. Many years of Julian Assange's early life were devoted to attempting to allegedly flee this cult, except he has the same kind of hair that is characteristic of people who belong to this cult. And this cult has some connections to Australian intelligence, apparent connections to Australian intelligence. We will talk about that inside two of this broadcast. This program will highlight why people should use the SpitfireList.com website, www.SpitfireList.com, the best source for information about this subject material, so please use it. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 725, Leak This, Wiki Spooks and the World of Stig Larsson. This program is being recorded on October 9th of the year 2010. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.